Okay, I started a message 2 Sundays ago, and the few minutes we have before we close, I believe I can still say something. Amen. After the Holy Ghost program, there are messages that should naturally flow. And the people need to be established on certain things of the Spirit. And that is what has given birth to that message that we tie to the manifestation of the Spirit. And this is part 2. And we pick our text from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Amen. One verse there, and then talk the one we can talk today. I'm not sure Jesus will come tomorrow, so we can continue tomorrow. Amen. Because there are some scriptures that have not yet been fulfilled, but they can be fulfilled anytime. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, let me read it. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Every man to do what? To profit with her. That is, that manifestation is given to you to profit with it. The emphasis there is the profit. Amen. It's the profit, the word profit. Profit. Amen. And when you talk about profit here, it is talking about reward. One thing I love about this God that we serve. Amen. He does not use anybody and dumps you. That is one secret most people don't know. And one thing again with this God that we serve is that He, God, will call you to use you. He is the one that wants to use you, and He will equip you with what you need to serve Him. You see? And then, after you have served Him with what He has given you to use to serve Him, then He will still tell you again, come and account for what I have given you. Praise God. Now, I want us to note it. The Bible tells us there are 2 judgments that is awaiting the whole of this earth now. The first one is the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we shall all stand before Martin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
He said we must. It's compulsory. Every one of us must do what?
Appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
Before the judgment seat of Christ. God bless you. Be seated. Oh, finish. Don't finish. Read them. Never finish.
That everyone may receive the things done in the body, in his body, according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad.
Now, remember that the Bible says that the Father judgeth no man, but He has committed all judgment to the Son. So, the first judgment is the judgment seat of Christ, which Apostle Paul said, we all here, are all those who will go in the rapture. Every one of us that will go in the rapture, how many of us are here? It's very easy to put up hand, isn't it? But to go in the rapture is not as easy as lifting up your hand. How many people are sure if Christ come now, we'll go to heaven? We'll go with Him. If you are not sure, don't worry. Praise the Lord. Amen. Go and make your calling and election. Sure. Listen, church. When we go in the rapture, a lot of people who are expecting the coming of the, there are activities still lined up. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Those of us who will go in the rapture. But this judgment is not judgment unto condemnation to fire. The second judgment comes up 1,000 years after. That is Revelation chapter 20. It is called the white throne judgment. That is the judgment that is unto condemnation. And the Bible says, blessed are they that have part in the first resurrection. Because this first resurrection, which is for the rapture, hallelujah, is the glorious one. He said the second death has no power over them. Why? Because the second death is for anyone that does not go in the rapture. Every other person that does not go in the rapture, hallelujah, the next thing they're waiting for is hell fire. But we, our own, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It is a judgment unto reward. Which reward? Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Which reward? Which reward? You know, Apostle Paul was so revelated in these things. He was so revelated. You see? And if you look at, he repeated the same thing to the Romans. Romans chapter 14. He repeated the same thing to the Romans. Stanley, read. Stanley, read. Revelation chapter 14. Read it from verse 10 to verse... Romans. Romans chapter 14. Verse 10 to verse 13. Oh yeah?
Praise the Lord. But why dost thou judge thy brother?
Uh-huh.
Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
We all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me.
Thank you.
And every tongue shall confess to God. To every one of us shall give account of himself to God.
Thank you.
Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put the stumbling block for or an occasion to fall his brothers away.
Hallelujah. This judgment is not the judgment to go to hellfire. Read again 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Chibuzo. First Corinthians chapter 3, Chibuzo. Verse 13. Go ahead.
Every man's work shall be made manifest.
Listen, he said, every man's work shall be made manifest.
For the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire.
By fire.
And the fire shall try every man's work. Of what sort?
The fire will try every man's work. He didn't say the fire will burn you yourself. It is your work that will undergo a test.
Of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved.
You see, that verse 15, there's a revelation in there for somebody reading it for the first time. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. The loss there is not his soul, but he himself shall be saved. Yet so as by fire. That is why I say it is not a judgment unto condemnation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And because Apostle Paul knew that every man will give account of himself at the judgment seat of Christ. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Choir. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 1 verse, verse 6. Yes?
2 Timothy chapter 4.
For I am now ready to be offered.
Listen, this is Apostle Paul. I am now ready to be offered. That is, God revealed to him, you will soon die. He said, I am now ready to be offered. Go on.
And the time of my departure is at hand.
The departure there is departure from earth to glory.
If I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight.
I have fought a good fight.
I have finished my course. I have kept the faith.
He said, I have finished my course. That is my assignment. I have finished my assignment. And I have done what?
Kept the faith.
He said, I have kept the faith.
Henceforth.
From now on.
There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness.
There is laid up for me a crown of what?
Righteousness. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day.
Oh, glory be to God. How many people will finish serving God now? In this age, and you can be sure, as God told you, say you are dying tomorrow, and you can call all members of your family, say, well, my time of departure has come. I have kept the faith. I am not going to meet with the Lord to rest. Amen. And I am sure when you come over there, you will meet me with my own crown. That's a serious testimony, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Now, the parable that Jesus Christ gave in this scripture, you know, means so much to us, particularly members of this church. From verse 41. Because all that in this ministry we should know, we have known it. We have tried within the last 14 years, the past 14 years that this church started. This church started like a seed that was sown and grew to what it is today. It is not a breakaway from any church. You know, ministers leave this church and their field of evangelism, the Bride Assembly. But this church did not break away from any church. Four or five of us gathered. We were clapping hands. And we didn't know that God was planting a church from that clapping hand. And we are where we are today. But from that day one, any time personally me had opportunity to preach, I preached the truth. That's why somebody, our neighbor in Mafuluku, before we came here, he said that when we moved to that place from my office where we started and moved to that place where we put a shed through his window, he was hearing what we were preaching. He told me personally 2 years later. He said that he was saying this man when they preach, nobody could call in church. This kind of this man, the priest, nobody will call. Why he came to me, he said he was surprised because the church grew and took over until, you know, he had to pack away from that place for his own peace. Now, but every opportunity we had, we told the people that there is going to be a rapture, and for you to become rapturable, this is the condition. And the first thing in our mind that we tried to let the people know was to let the people know we have a message. From day one, we told the people there is a message. And that message was sent to prepare people to go home. And that whatever grace you see in this ministry is only to make it easier for us to deliver the message. But some people here have turned their mind away from the message and they are facing the attraction that God has designed to make us to give the message. They turn their attention away from the message. The message is not the gifts. It's not the gifts. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But if you are in the message, the gifts will flow. I don't know if I'm saying something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know. And all attempts by carnal people, ministers, to divert our attention, it could not work. Do you know why? Praise the Lord. Do you know Gordon Lindsay? I read the book he wrote concerning William Branham, the man sent from God. William Branham, the man sent from God, written by Gordon Lindsay. He made a statement, I read it here. He said that he believed that the reason why God chose William Branham, why God chose William Branham to be the one to deliver this message, he says, because that God knew that he will not organize and denominate the message like others, other ministers have done. He said all attempts to do that, he resisted it. Praise the Lord. I believe with the whole of my heart too that there is a reason why God chose me to be the pastor of Bride Assembly. Amen. First and foremost, he trained me in the military first to understand boldness. Praise the Lord. Secondly, he made me to see money. I saw money in the Air Force. I saw money. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And also, he made me to see poverty after I saw all that money inside prison yard. All the things that make a minister to fall, God told William Branham. The first one he said was women. God allowed me as an unbeliever to see every color of woman. Plus Oyibo, tall, short, fat, green, all the colors. I saw them and I saw the vanity of such a life. The next one is pride. He said pride that comes as a result of popularity. So he made sure, he made me to be an ex-convict so that a tag like Rahab the Harlot, they will say that pastor will go prison. So he made me a lewo. They call them a lewo. Look, he made me to be I didn't know. I said when the first day I enter, I say there's no hell anywhere. Hell is on earth here. Inside prison, I say, hey, I don't enter hell. So I know how to abound, and I know how to abase. And he led me to see the vanities of life. Do you know why people get proud? And then because of popularity, it's because of praise singers. Praise singers. Whenever they're looking for something from you, you see sycophants will come all around you. Everybody, when I was in the Air Force, I don't know say that because of the money they get from me. Hallu, 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 hallu. When they grab me, bam, I don't see any of them again to help me. So anytime you come around me, they praise me. I go say, see, one of them don't come. That's why when you come near me, you say, it's like you are an apostle. I would say, they don't start. What do you mean, apostle? You are the one God has raised in this generation. I say, hey, the Spirit, don't they come? So I live a life of suspicion. And the next one is money. He said, this is pull down servants of God. God allowed me also to see money before. So there is no amount of money you bring before me that shakes me. None. And he made me to see the vanities of life. and put me in a position that I made up my mind, this heaven, I will go. Praise the Lord. Again, I did not pass through the denominational system. The first church I entered on my conversion to Christianity is an end-time message church. Therefore, I don't have denominational hangover. There is nothing I can import from anywhere because I didn't go to Bible school. I don't go any denomination. I don't know how a church is organized anywhere. And here am I pastoring a church. But I have a message. I have a message. Therefore, I believe with the whole of my heart. There's a reason why God has chosen me among those He will also use to deliver this message. Forget it. We will never go the denominational way because I don't know any other way other than the Bible way and what William Marion Branham taught. He is my teacher. He is my teacher. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that is why, hallelujah, blessed be the name of the Lord. If you are not a Christian, don't come near me because I have seen false friendship in the world. You try to smuggle that to Christianity, I fight you with all that I have. You're not a Christian, don't come near me. We have friends outside, but don't come with Bible to me. Let me know you are an unbeliever so that we relate as Christian and unbeliever. But if I call you a brother and you begin to act around me as an unbeliever, just know I will fight you. Make sure you separate yourself from me. I have never charged anybody directly or indirectly. Anybody that charges in this ministry is an unpardonable offense. Unfortunately, you are the ones colluding with all of them because of your problems. If not, why are you not reporting when they ask you to bring money? You are covering them up. Why I'm saying this is for you to know that one day, me too, like Apostle Paul spoke, my heart desires that at that day, me too, I will speak like that. If God is going to call me home, I am walking like this because there is a knowledge I have that one day I am going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and I will give account of my ministry to Him. The manifestation of the Spirit. Now, okay. I wanted to read Luke chapter 12. Let's read it.
Verse 41.
Read it.
Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward?
Now listen, who then is that faithful and wise steward,
whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household.
Thank you. God bless you, Martin. I want to read it for emphasis. Verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household? Amen. Amen. And this parable, maybe before I come to this parable, let me make something very, very clear first. Go to Luke chapter 19 first. Go to Luke chapter 19 first. Are we there? Let me read it from verse 11. Are we there? And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants. Remember, it's a parable. So he expects you to decode it and understand. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, what did he say? Say it again. I will not go to school. Read it very loud. The emphasis there is, occupy till I come. And who is that nobleman? He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. those that believe me said, the works that I do, ye shall do also. Verse 14. But his citizens hated him. Who are his citizens? The Jews. Thank you. And sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. That's why they killed him on the cross of Calvary. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, when will that be? Hallelujah. When is he coming? After he has received the kingdom, for the rapture. He's coming for the rapture. One of these days, he's coming for the rapture. One of these days, the whole world will know that there is the day of the Lord. When it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money. When he left, amen. When he left, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay? He left them with talents, that he might know how much every man has gained by trading. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with that. Can you connect it now? Amen. How much you have gained by trading. And we are buying and selling. We are in the market now. Everybody has the goods he's selling. What are we trading in? We are trading in human souls. Okay, let me read on verse 16. Then came the first, saying, Lord, my pound has gained 10 pounds. Amen. That is the talent he has. Has gained how many? 10. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over how many cities? That is, when we shall, in the rapture, when we go and meet him, amen, our reward is, remember he's coming to reign on earth here for 1,000 years. Every one of us will be given the area of our jurisdiction. The area that we too we shall rule on earth here with him. As kings, while he will remain in Jerusalem, as the King of Kings. So whatever we are doing now, the reward will be the kingdom that we shall rule. Hey, hey. Praise the Lord. I say Christianity is like politics, it's spiritual politics. Everyone that worked for the president, Jonathan, or whoever is the president, to win that election, everyone that, some of them will spend their own money. Some of them will, you know, see, Jonathan will just pass through one city, he will just see all the posters everywhere. I don't give money for here. He will ask, who did this one? They will tell him. It's one chief, one will say. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No, it's true now. He will write it down. All this one. He will watch radio. People where you don't know. People will be spending money, making donations. Do you think they are doing it without expectation? And when he finally wins, he settles every one of them. So it is. We are campaigning now. And all those who are working against him, what happens? Eh? Amen. Once he wins, some of them leave Nigeria till after 4 years they come back. Oh yes. Some of them, these politicians, that's why they say dirty politics. Eh? If you are a director of a big company, because you work against them, their campaign, they will frustrate that company. They will bring one law just to make sure that all the money they make, you are fighting us. So it is. There is the day of the Lord. But we that we go in the rapture, we too, he will give us cities. Verse 18. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound had gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over how many cities? 5 cities. And another came saying, Lord, behold, what do you give me? Take them. Here is their pound, which I have kept, laid up, and folded it in a napkin and kept it. For I fear thee, because thou art an austere man, but they fear you. That take up that thou layest not down, and reapest down that thou did not sow. And he said unto him, out of thy own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then, giving not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury, interest, at least it is for yield interest. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that has 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. He has already now. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given. And from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those my enemies, which we know that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. This parable, amen, lets you know the talent that you are given, amen, amen, is to enable you acquire a crown for yourself. Listen, church. Listen, this is very important. The last person did not use his own. As you give me, and so I keep them for you. Take. It was handwriting on the wall. It was a sign.
Once you are saved, forever you are saved.
Everything we receive from God is by faith. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Fruit of delusion.
They told you it doesn't matter. It matters. There is yet another day that is His mercy is still available.
The trials of the Christian.
Christians face trials.
The God of this world cannot be our God, because we are in this world, but not of this world.
Now, who is this person? Now, these talents are the talents, they are the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Can we look at it? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We started by reading verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all this worketh that one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now these gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, they are the talents. That every one of us, once you are born again, amen, every one of us, the Spirit you have received manifests by way of a gift. That is the talent. And I keep saying it. I say every one of us has that gift. No born again Christian is without a gift. At least one out of these nine. Because he gave some 10, some 5. Matthew 25 says so. And some just one. And one day, what you do with those gifts, you will give account. Remember, he gave it to us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To profit with it. To work and acquire your crown for yourself at his coming. Amen. Hallelujah. But there is one. The heart, just one. I refuse to use it. You are that foolish one. He said you are a wicked person. You are a wicked servant. You kept it. You did not use it. And the reason is, there are so many of us say, me, I don't want. I know all these way ministers they go through, I don't want. My own, I just want to serve God. Now you be that though. Like I just go to church, I will live a clean life, I will not steal, I will not kill, I will not lie, I'm not just my own is, I don't want, you know, don't, just go there, do my own, and my own is, hallelujah, worship my God, drop my tithe and offering faithfully, and go. Any other one, another. And you think you are being humble over it. At that day, you will know that it was a foolish humility. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The gifts are in twofold. Number one is what the theologians call it the ascension gift. That is the gift in First Ephesians chapter 4. Can we open it? In Ephesians chapter 4, this is the way he put it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then read on like that. Praise the Lord. Now, listen here. Amen. Now, these ascension gifts, they are the leadership gifts in the church. They are the ones that after Christ ascended, waiting to come back, he left the church into the hands of this fivefold ministry to watch over the church for leadership. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor, and the teachers. Amen. Grace Oyahilome was trying to twist that scripture. He said, he gave some apostles. Some. I was listening to him on the television one day, some few years back. He said, what it means is that some, they are like Christ's embassy. He gave them a teacher. Like synagogue, he gave some. He gave them a prophet. Redeem, he gave them evangelists. Oyedepo, he gave them whatever it is. So he's saying that some, he gave this ministry to some. He gave this ministry to some. He gave this one to some. That is not the meaning. Amen. It's nothing like that. God gives a balanced diet for his body. Hallelujah. God gave a balanced diet. If you give the people teacher, amen, you will be teaching them all the mysteries and all the principles. But you cannot teach them and see the danger that is coming. You need the prophetic. Amen. And you cannot teach until somebody goes to evangelize and brings them to sit down for you to teach. And you cannot pastor until the evangelist has gone out and brought the people for you to pastor. So the fivefold ministry, they work together. Amen. All this one-man show ministry is not a Bible pattern at all. For the perfecting of the saints. Amen. Listen. What did he say? What's the first one? The reason for the fivefold ministry. Let me show you something. No, verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. The ministry that perfects is the teachers. The teaching ministry. Amen. For the work of the ministry. Which ministry? The ministry of reconciliation. The evangelists. For God so loved the world. The gospel. And for the edifying of the body. Notice. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The teacher, through his teaching, the people are perfected. They are established in the knowledge of the word. The evangelist goes out there. Amen. And then, now, the prophet for the edification of the body. The prophet does not go out. The prophet is to attend to those who are now born again, part of the body. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's why, first and foremost, Jesus Christ came. And then a woman came looking for healing. A Syrophoenician woman, a Gentile woman. He said, it's not proper to give the children's meat to the dogs. There are some gifts that are first and foremost for the believers. And it is also there to confirm to the unbeliever that comes in your midst to find out whether God is there among you or not. He kept the prophet in the church to confirm to anybody that will enter that God is here by picking him up and telling him what only God knows concerning him. Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 said, by that they will fall down and worship God and say they will know of a truth. God is with you. Amen. What's the other one? Edification of the body. Said till we all come into the unity of the faith. Now listen, they don't all have to be in one address. It's because the church of Jesus Christ has been fragmented because of unrevelated people. And so, we remain in the estate that we are in. If the body is one, like the Bible says, then if we have a prophet here, hallelujah. Or let me even start with the evangelist. If the evangelist go out to Shango, for instance, and evangelize, any end-time message pastor in that area, they should be able to direct those people to that church. They must not come here. They must not come here. It's for the body, not for a local church. If there is a teacher here also, then other churches should gather and organize program and invite the teacher to come and establish the local church by teaching them things they should know. And the prophets here too. Those people there from time to time, They should be calling our prophets. Come, oh, we have a program. We want you to come. Come, oh, we are having a lot of problems. Some people suddenly die, one can't die, we don't understand. We need a prophet here. And we will ship the prophets to them. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the church now, you see the way we are fragmented, devil designed it like that. If we all come into that knowledge, imagine. That's why, right before this ministry started, I have complained and complained. I attended end-time message conventions. And all the conventions I attended before this church started, I was not pastoring any church. After that, I will meet the organizers of every camp I attended. I will tell them, I hope you people, you know you did not organize a convention. Brother Moses, what do you mean? I say, you know what I mean. Is this a convention? What happened? We gather there, and then somebody is speaking English, teaching us mysteries, 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 and people were witches, they disturbed, they're sitting down there. After 4 days, now so they go pack their bags again and go back full of head knowledge, but under the control of witches and wizards. I said, we are the prophets. We are the people that have healing gifts here. And two gifts, the pastoral gift and, amen. And my time is going. The pastoral gift and the evangelical gift, the evangelist. Every evangelist, every pastor, don't go and pastor any church just because you know John 3:16. You know Malachi 4:5. You know 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 11. You know Revelation 4:5. You have read so many sermon books. Nalayo. Eh? Jerry, you are asking me this morning. You are suggesting a brother in among us. Now why don't we send that brother to Sapele? Since Sapele, they are asking us to come and plant a church. And I told him, I said, yes. It is not enough to know the Bible. There is still one element that is missing in that brother. I told him, I said, every pastor must have a power gift. Must have a power gift. You must have a power gift. So that when the devil tries to come and snatch any of your sheep, you should go and deliver that person. Hallelujah. Now that's the truth. That's the truth. Because pastoral office is not only grammar. That's why you are a pastor. David is a perfect example. He was watching over the sheep of his father. And a bear came one time. Another time a lion came and took one of the sheep. Hallelujah. Amen. And David went and delivered the sheep of his father from the mouth of a lion with bare hand. That is what God saw and said, this is the man qualified to look after Israel. Amen. Hallelujah. And it is not for you now, because you want to pastor a church, to begin to go and look for power. It is a calling. It is a calling. You don't even pray for it. You don't pray for it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm saying it boldly because what I am talking about now is not English. It's practical. 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 It's practical. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I've confirmed it here. Except you are not a real member of this church. If you're a real member of this church, it's a lie. It's a lie. All of us that God has ordained here to watch over you as ministers, if they step there and pray, God will answer. Yes, now. Because don't think, because something happened, they're going to run, come meet me. I'm giving you a revelation. Not be only me. All of us that are watching over you, walking here. But me, myself, as a pastor, and you too that want to be a pastor, The Bible, Brother Abraham said, every pastor, he said, you must be at least one step ahead of every member of the congregation. In Revelation, you will go higher than them. So William Branham said, if you are a member of a church and you know better than the pastor, he said, that is evidence that is not your church. Because you can't know better than your pastor. And yet, there are people that are sitting down in churches that they know better than their pastor. That was the problem I had in my last church. And I was busy fighting the pastor. Do something now. He didn't understand until fight come, I can't come out. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now that's the truth. We went to a camp one time and one gifted sister collapsed and died. I don't know how many of you remember that. Ijoma. Yes, ministers went. I was in my own room somewhere. And everybody, some were crying, some were... She died though. The woman died. How many people remember? Pastor Thomas, you were there. John, you were there. All of you were there. Godwin. Godwin, you were there. Godwin, you were among those crying that day. It's a cry. They came and banged my room and then carried her like a log of wood. Carry her. They knocked my room. Knocked my door. And I looked at her. I said, praise the Lord. And I told them, lie her on my bed. They laid her on the bed. I told them, stop crying. Show me anywhere in the Bible that says in time like this you'll cry. So people to pray are crying. Godwin was crying that day. I think that time he was eyeing that sister to marry her. It's okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now I'm just using it as an example. Now, if they come to me at that time, and then she doesn't come back to life, where else would they go? Now, mortuary. No, that's the truth. Now, mortuary. Now, I didn't say that she cannot die. But I'm saying that, but there will be a measure of the exercise of authority. That's what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I told her, I don't know, did I use water or handkerchief? I forgot what I used. Handkerchief, thank you, handkerchief. I said, lie her down. As I place this my handkerchief upon her, she will come to life in the name of Jesus. I put the handkerchief on her, she came back to life. She came back to life now, immediately. Praise the Lord. Prophet Dayo sent for me one time, is Dayo here? County hospital. Once he said I was in choir here. For 3 days they were battling with her. She was, Chioma is her name, she was in coma. The third day they called me. I went with my wife to Okpa, they directed me to the hospital. When I went there, the whole family, everybody round, the family round, everybody, and they stayed, you know. I entered there, everybody was looking sorrowful because she was in coma, she was gone far. And I entered and I told them, I said, look, because, you know, there are some faces when you see, they will discourage your faith. You know, so I quickly attacked that spirit. I said, I did not come here to sympathize. I came to take this sister home. I said, give me a chance. My wife was with me. I brought out my handkerchief from my pocket. I said, as I place this handkerchief upon this woman, come back to life. In the name of Jesus, I place it there. She came back to life. Immediately. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now I'm telling you something here. That a pastor must have the, and then the second ministry that must have the power gift is the evangelist. Don't call yourself evangelist until there is a power gift following you. Because you may be going to talk to a principality. And he will look at you and say, Jesus, he will look you. He will look you in the spirit. By the time he finish with you, you don't go feel come up for evangelism the next day. Amen. If Timothy, if you are not sure of yourself, will you go to Igbo people's shrine? You are from Edo. Eh? No, it's true now. If you are not sure, will you go there? Eh? Praise God.
I sure my calling.
You are sure of your calling.
Yes, sir.
That's it. That is it. No, every evangelist, you must have that power. It's not for God so loved the world. Stand and then they will look at you. Hey, Ekanka will say, sit down. Resurrection will say, sit down. Ogbani will say, sit down there. You don't know what they are saying, sit down. He said, I plead the blood of Jesus. He'll look you inside. He will look at you, nothing. Amen. Now, it's important that you catch that. Now, this is the leadership office, and none of them belong to the woman. A woman cannot answer Apostle Judith. Amen. Amen. There's nothing like lady evangelist. Okay, Baba. Nothing like that. None of these offices. And no sister in Pride Assembly should answer prophetess. What's their name again? Prophetess Anya. Prophetess Amarachi. Prophetess. You are sister. Sister Amarachi that prophesies. Sister Joy that prophesies. Amen. Because, listen, church, I have taught it several times. Amen. The gift of the word of wisdom. That is what we are operating. Many of us. The office of a prophet. Ha! Okay, it's a leadership office. I have taught you that. Therefore, no woman can be lady pastor. Pastor Mrs. No, Apostle Paul says, it is not for the women. It is for the man. But we have the body gifts. Amen. The body gifts, they are divided into three. Nine of them, and they are divided into three groups. The utterance gift, the power gift, and the revelatory gifts. And each of them, three, three, three. Nine of them. The first one is the utterance gift. The one that you give voice, you use your voice to operate it. That is prophecy, tongues, and that is, he said, diverse kind of tongues. And the third one is the interpretation of tongues. The next set, three of them also, is the power gift. That is the gift of faith, healings, and the workings of miracles. The last set, three, is the revelatory gifts. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and the discernment of spirits. All this, both man and woman can operate any of them. They are the body gifts. And each of these gifts you operate determines your ministry. People therefore stop coming to me to say, they say, I have a call. I have a call. Pastor, I don't know my call. Your call is determined by the gift that you have. And it's not somebody that will tell you that you have a gift. You are the one. The gift is known by the manifestation. Amen. Hallelujah. Anytime you dream, it comes to pass. That is the gift of the word of knowledge. Four ways, word of knowledge. Comes by a vision. Comes by audible voice. Comes by a dream. And it comes by an inspiration like a thought. A very loud thought. It is all called the word of knowledge. The ability to know something. Amen. And you are sitting down, prayer is going on, and the vision breaks forth. Bah. Praise the Lord. That's a gift. Amen. And depending on what you see will determine what you are to do as a result of what you see. And what you do as a result of what you see is the ministry already in action. Am I talking to somebody? Am I complicating it? Eh? Am I complicating it? What is the ministry? A vision break forth. That is the gift. Hallelujah. What you see, when you see, and what you do as a result of what you see is the ministry in action. Amen. You're praying and suddenly somebody's face come to you and you see they carry hammer one cut in neck. And you stop and say, brother, why prayer is going on a vision, pray for it. I said, they won't cut your head. Let us pray. You are already in the ministry. If you keep quiet and they don't cut your neck, you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day. And he will bring him, say, see an auntie. You know, say they cut your neck. Say, before they cut, and did I show you? You will say, yes, you show me. Therefore, you are the cause of his death. Amen. Thank you. That's the watchman. The gift of the word of knowledge. And it can operate anywhere, both before believers and unbelievers. If you're in a bus and God reveals something to you there, say it. That is your ministry. I have a calling. Everybody, I have a calling. They are asking for money to buy instruments and rent a hall and get microphone. I have a calling. Praise the Lord. And see ministers sitting down here. And they don't know. And I wait and they look at every time. We are your leaders. As far as the fivefold ministry is concerned. Praise the Lord. But you too, you have something to supply. Even me as a pastor, there's something I have to get from you. Do you know what the gift of the speaking in tongue is? Do you know that it is for to enhance prayers? Prayer intercessors. The gift of speaking in tongue is automatically your ministry is for intercession. Because once you get into the spirit concerning any matter you are praying, you begin to speak in tongues, the Holy Ghost has taken over to pray exactly according to the will. It's not more you praying, it's the Holy Ghost now handling that matter as long as you yield yourself. Therefore, everyone that speaks in tongues, you are an automatic intercessor for yourself, for your family, for the church. Even for your office where you work. Have you not observed that you've been sleeping? Some of you sleep and you wake up speaking in tongue. And you yourself, you don't even know what you are speaking in tongue for. Amen. That means there is a matter that the Holy Ghost is using that gift to handle. And if you try to cut it off, you are disobedient. You are hindering God. And you will stand before God and give account of it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There is a gift of interpretation. When that gift is in operation, interpretation of tongues, and somebody suddenly speaks in tongue, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we are not to speak in tongue in the church like this, except there is interpretation. What it means is speaking in tongue, not when general prayer is going on and you begin to speak in tongue or you sit there. That's not what it means. So, what it means is what some preachers do. I call a microphone or in a little group where we are like this, even as we are like this, suddenly somebody here enter spirit and speak in tongue. Naturally, we will believe that God is speaking to us. So we shall all keep quiet. And you finish talking. We don't know what you talk. Apostle Paul said, speak to yourself. But the truth is this. Especially in a church like this, where we are properly schooled in the gifts. Somebody may be speaking in tongue. We give microphone. If it is a message, somebody else will be hearing the interpretation in the congregation. Hallelujah. In the congregation, somebody else will hear the interpretation. Because the kind of tongues that we hear people speak in these days. Amen. See, a tongue that is a tongue is diverse kinds of tongues. There is the angelic tongue, where you are speaking angelic language. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. One sister, one time, when we were very few, Sister Bisi, somebody one day in the service spoke in tongue and stopped. After again, started again and stopped. And we are wondering, why now this person should know that he should not speak? Later on, the person finished, no interpretation. After service, Sister Bisi came and met me. He said, sir, when that brother was speaking in tongue, he said, like a tape was playing inside of me. I was hearing the tape was playing. All that the person was saying, I was hearing the interpretation inside of me, like a tape. He said she was confused. I said, that is the gift of interpretation. You should have immediately finished speaking, you will have taken over. Thus said the Lord. And say what you heard. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, because of time, I'm just rushing this thing. It says something here. It says that when you are prophesying, it says, prophesy tongue by tongue. It said, let one speak and the other to judge. I have seen blind enter message pastors who want to hold on to that scripture. When you prophesy, they will go and write it down. What the apostle said, we want to judge it. Amen. It is only a prophet that can judge a prophecy. A gift is in operation. You don't have the gift. How can you judge it? Also, to enable us to know which spirit is in operation, that is why we have the gift of the discernment of spirits. When every spirit is in operation, there are people that have the gift. And one gift that every pastor must have is the gift of discernment. If not, Satan will come and mess you up with the gift. You won't know whether a devil or a God. That's why I say the office of a pastor is a very delicate office. I'm telling you. Amen. And by God's grace, here, there is that gift of discernment here. In this office. In this church. In this church. Praise the Lord. Now listen, those of you who are prophets. Anybody that has a gift. Listen. Anybody that has a gift. And that gift is a genuine gift. Amen. If I am prophesying and speaking in tongue, and you have the gift of speaking in tongue, it will hit you wherever you are. It will hit you. Boy. Amen. If there is any prophet here, collect microphone, and it's in the spirit, if it is a genuine discernment, waiting in the sea, somebody that has that gift too is seeing it. Wherever you are. You'll be seeing it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so now, somebody is given the gift of prophecy now. Prophecy now. Thus said the Lord. If it is the Spirit that is speaking, thus said the Lord, and giving a message, the anointing will hit you. You'll be feeling a vibration. If you have the same gift, that vibration that you feel, it's a confirmation that that person is speaking by the Spirit of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, listen. Listen. You are supposed to judge it. How do you then judge it? When he finished speaking in tongue, and you felt that vibration, or you saw the same message, as soon as the person finished speaking, God said, the Spirit of the living God as he ends. Wherever you are, you will shout, that is the voice of the Lord. In the mouth of two or three, the matter is established. I want to be hearing that from now on in this church. Hallelujah. 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 Once you begin to speak in tongues and you don't feel that vibration, and you are sure, amen, that you have that gift, but you spoke, if the person is speaking from his own spirit, you will never feel it. Then, amen, if nobody said that is the voice of the Lord, we will not accept the prophecy. That is the judging. Because a spirit may be coming here to impersonate, and some even know the spirit saying that their own. Don't say the Lord. He get something against the prophets in this church. Then he go, or maybe one join choir. They don't agree and join choir. Then when prayer is going, to say, hey, don't say the Lord. Don't say the Lord to my choir. If there is no confirmation, we will take you for deliverance after service. Praise the Lord. Our time is gone. I've not finished, so we go talk next time. Our time don't go. Our time don't go. Let's clap our hands for our God. Hallelujah. See, I have enough experience to teach you about gifts. I have enough. You will benefit a lot.